translation and prayer put by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Brahmana said, "This spotless sun has been restored by the all-powerful and all-pervasive Lord Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, in order to oblige you. He was saved when he was doomed to be destroyed by an irresistible supernatural weapon." Purport. The child Parikshit was saved by the all-powerful and all-pervasive Lord Vishnu for two reasons. The first reason is that the child in the womb of his mother was spotless due to his being a pure devotee of the Lord. The second reason is that the child was the only surviving male descendant of Puru, the pious forefather of the virtuous King Yudhishthira. The Lord wants to continue the line of pious kings to rule over the earth as his representatives for the actual progress of a peaceful and prosperous life. After the battle of Kurukshetra, even up to the next generation of Maharaj Yudhishthira was annihilated, and there were none who could generate another son in the great royal family. Maharaj Parikshit, the son of Abhimanyu, was the only surviving heir apparent in the family, and by the irresistible supernatural Brahmastra, weapon of Ashwatthama, he was forced to be annihilated. Lord Krishna is described herein as Vishnu. And this is also significant. Lord Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, does the work of protection and annihilation in his capacity of Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is the plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. The all-pervasive activities of the Lord are executed by him in his Vishnu feature. Child Parikshit is described here as spotlessly white because he is an unalloyed devotee of the Lord. Such unalloyed devotees of the Lord appear on the earth just to execute the mission of the Lord. The Lord desires the conditioned souls to go. The Lord desires the conditioned souls hovering in the material creation to be reclaimed, to go back home, back to Godhead. And thus, he helps them by preparing the transcendental literatures like the Vedas, by sending missionaries of saints and sages, and by deputing his representative, the spiritual master. Such transcendental literatures, missionaries, and representatives of the Lord are spotlessly white because the contamination of the material qualities cannot even touch him. They are always protected by the Lord when they are threatened with annihilation. Such foolish threats are made by the gross materialist. The Brahmastra, which was thrown by Ashwatthama at the child Parikshit, was certainly supernaturally powerful, and nothing of the material world could resist its force of penetration. But the all-powerful Lord, who is present everywhere, within and without, could counteract it by his all-powerful potency, just to save a bona fide servant of the Lord and descendant of another devotee, Maharaj Yudhishthira, who was always obliged by the Lord by his causeless mercy. Omagyanta Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garada Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Hare Krishna, dear devotees. So, we've read that how Parikshit Maharaj has just been saved from Ashwatthama's Brahmastra. And we know that Parikshit Maharaj is the son of Abhimanyu, who is the nephew, who is the son of Arjuna, and he's also the son of Subhadra, the sister of Sri Krishna. So, you know, Ashwatthama, as we know, after the war, he was very vengeful. So in a way that was against the rules of warfare and Kshatriya Dharma, he killed the five sons of the Pandavas when they were sleeping. In fact, even Duryodhan was disgusted by that act. He condemned that act. So, you know, Duryodhan is like what he did. If he can condemn it, it must mean it's a really bad thing. So then, you know, Arjuna, wanting revenge, went to kill him. So Ashwatthama, he launched the Brahmastra So Krishna also, Arjuna also launched it. So Shri Vyasadeva, he intervened and said, these weapons can destroy universes, galaxies, you have to bring it back. So Arjuna was able to bring it back. But Ashwatthama wasn't. So he directed it towards the womb of Uttara, the mother of Parikshit Maharaj. So he was the only heir of the Pandavas, of the Purus. So then Krishna went and saved Parikshit Maharaj when he wasn't even born in the womb. So that's like the summary of the story, and this is what we're up to. So when it's very interesting, this statement in this verse. It says, the spotless son has been restored by the all-powerful and all-pervasive Lord Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. Restored. Now, restored, when we use that word, we think of something that's been damaged, and we fix it up, if a car has a service, it's all the engine is restored, whatnot. You know, it means to put something new in, just to make it new again. So a few years, when I was reading Brihad Bhagavatamrita about 10 years ago, I remember I came across a verse in Purport, and it explains that actually Parikshit Maharaj, he actually died in the womb of Uttara. So I was quite surprised by this, because we don't read that in the Bhagavatam. There's no verse to indicate that. So he actually died in the womb of Uttara, and Krishna restored him, brought him back to life. So that verse is actually based on this verse that we're reading today. So I found that really interesting. There's a few statements I came across by Prabhupada a while ago that also corroborates that. But I was thinking, why doesn't it say that in this chapter? So that was interesting. Because if you think Krishna saving him from death or bringing back to life, it leads to the same thing. Parikshit Maharaj is alive, so there's not really a difference, is there, in the ultimate scheme of things? So it served Krishna's purpose. So, anyways, I found that really interesting. So, you know, also it's explained that he was already a devotee in the womb of Uttara. You know, we don't know about his past life. There's not much information. We don't know what happened. Was he a sadhaka? So it's to be understood that he was placed in that situation by Krishna's arrangement. And it's understood he was a devotee when he appeared. So, he was born in the family of the Pandavas, and we know the Pandavas are not just relatives of Sri Krishna, but they're also great devotees of Sri Krishna. They're always absorbed in hearing about him, thinking about him, chanting his glories. So naturally, and Uttara was the wife of Abhimanyu, who's the nephew of Krishna, who's the son of Subhadra. So naturally, they'll be discussing these things about Krishna, and it will create an impression on the child within the womb. There's scientific data which shows that the impression, whatever the mother is thinking or discussing or feeling, has an effect on the child's consciousness, on the child's mind. Ayurveda Shastras explain that if the mother is arguing a lot, or having especially with her spouse, it's explained that the child will be born with a hole in the heart, like he'll have heart problems. It says that in the Ayurveda Shastras. And there's other different types of consequences given. So the impression, of a pregnant woman that she is exposed to can affect the child. We can't see it, but it does happen. That's why, it's not surprising that Parikshit Maharaj was a devotee. We see that people who are, because I do tutoring, so sometimes I tutor children for 11 plus exams, and sometimes I come across children who are highly intelligent. You know, they're more intelligent than older kids. So I asked the parents, you know, what's your background, academic background? And they said, yeah, we were also good at maths. We went to this university. So you can say, you know, that type of things they were exposed to has effect on the child. So it should be no problem to accept that. So you know, the key principle here is protection. And, you know, we know that, you know, why, so, you know, he was protected here. But later on in his life, you know, he, due to certain circumstances, he was cursed by Shingri, who was the son of a Brahmana. He's considered to be a not a very qualified Brahmana. He was young, immature, brash. He cursed Yudhishthira Maharaj to die by the bite of a snake. And Shingri's father chastised him heavily and said, You've given him a curse. You don't know who he is. He's Parikshit Maharaj. He's the ruler of the entire planet. So then we know that Parikshit Maharaj, he went to meet the sages, and he then eventually met Shukadev Goswami. And we don't find Krishna. We don't find Krishna coming to save him towards the end. You know, and I was always to think about that. You know, why didn't he save him? You know, because I knew the pastime before I came to ISKCON, because I watched this TV serial, you know, The People Who Made Ramayana. So I watched that. So I was familiar with the pastime, you know, when I watched it about 30 years ago. So I always used to think about that, because, you know, we're used to in modern literature, in historical literature, of the protagonist being surviving whatever he's coming up against. You know, if he's coming up against an antagonist. So we're so conditioned to think the hero must always win. He must always survive. So when I watched that, I was a bit shocked, and then so I never really understood it, you know. And we can also see that, you know, Abhimanyu, who's the nephew of Sri Krishna, you know, he died on the battlefield, you know, and Ashwatthama killed him by hitting on the head, you know, in an illegal warfare, in an illegal type of battle they had, because he was surrounded. It was completely against the rules of Kshatriya Dharma. You know, why didn't he save him? Why didn't Krishna save the sons of the Pandavas who were sleeping? They were dear devotees of Sri Krishna. You know, there's a verse, he says, you know, Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke. If Krishna desires to kill somebody, nobody can give him protection. And if Krishna wants to save somebody, nobody can kill him. You know, we know this. So why didn't Krishna save them? You know, and protection is mentioned a lot in other spiritual traditions. You know, we read, the life of Moses, you know, he, when he was delivering his people, the Jews from Ramesses, is explained that, you know, he went through, came to the, I think, Red Sea or Dead Sea, and it was parted so his people could get through. And then the Ramesses' Egyptian army was destroyed when the rivers came back, the sea came back and drowned them. You know, so we see that God always intervenes. And, you know, I remember reading, like, how there was this back, like, you know, when there was, like, the Protestants broke off from the Catholic religion, and there was a great battle. Then there was one battle I read about how, you know, the Protestants were unmanned, they didn't have much weapons, and they were coming up against a Catholic army. It actually happened in Europe, if I'm correct. And they said, look, God's going to intervene on our part. We don't need to worry. He's going to come down, and he's going to destroy this Catholic army. But, you know, it didn't happen. They were destroyed, the Protestant army. So, you know, protection is like when we think you're under, you know, like, it's natural to think if you're worshipping God, you're his devotee, you're, you know, you're giving him all your time, why wouldn't he protect you? You know, we see in Srimad Bhagavatam talks about Gajendra, the elephant, who was in a river, and a crocodile, you know, bit him on his leg. And, you know, they fought for so many years until he finally surrendered to Krishna. And Krishna came and, you know, killed the crocodile. We also hear about Draupadi. He came to save Draupadi's honor when Dushasan brought her into the palace. You know, he saved her honor. He saved the Rajvasis when Indra tried to drown Vrindavan and killed the Rajvasis because they wouldn't worship him. So, you know, we've read that Krishna intervenes and protects his devotees from danger. But, you know, then we also read he doesn't, and it causes a bit of bewilderment, you know, especially to someone who believes in God, who has deep faith in God. You know, and like, this also troubles Uddhava. Uddhava, you know, he's a Yadava. He's more closer to Krishna than the Pandavas. He's like, you know, in terms of rasa and tattva, he's explained to be, he can understand the mellows of Vrindavan and the love the gopis have for Sri Krishna. The Pandavas don't even have that, and even he's bewildered by Krishna's act. He's saying, he asks him, you know, I just want to ask you a question. He says, you know, what's a friend? And Krishna says, a friend is someone who comes to you when you need him. So he says, okay, the Pandavas, I saw what happened with the Pandavas and the Kauravas, but you never came to save them. You didn't, they went through so much difficulty. When Yudhishthira was gambling, you know, he was cheated by Duryodhana. Why didn't you stop it? Why didn't you intervene? Why didn't you let Yudhishthira win? Why didn't you stop Draupadi from being brought in front of the kings and princes and, you know, nearly being stripped? Why didn't you intervene? You know, I just don't understand this, you know? And he's a great devotee. So even he had these doubts in his mind. So obviously there's a nice conversation that comes, I'll explain it later. So, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam, how does it reconcile this, you know? So like, that God is a protector, but then at the same time, he doesn't physically protect his devotees. So Shastra explains that there's protection at three different levels. There's the physical level, there's the mental level, and there's the spiritual level. So if we expect Krishna's protection to always be at the physical level, then we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. Because on the physical level, at the physical level, even those who devote themselves to God, you know, they're going to grow old, they're going to get diseased, they're going to die. Yeah, I remember once some devotees were speaking to Prabhupada about if there was a world war, would we be protected? And Prabhupada said, no, you're going to die too. You know, if they fire the nukes, of course you're going to die. But our destination is going to be somewhere else. So it's not that, you know, Krishna is going to, you know, we're not going to die. We become immortal in this body, because this body is dead matter. It's not our real identity. You know, we are going to suffer. So it's like, just, you know, like if so many devotees who do service, they have health problems. You know, if you do book distribution, I've heard of devotees who do book distribution. One of my god brothers was telling me he's got bad back now from years of standing up doing book distribution. So there's so many issues we get. So if we expect to be protected always on the physical level, we're going to be disappointed. Our relationship with Krishna is not based on the physical level. That doesn't mean there's no protection will never come. It can come and it will come, depend accordingly, but that's not the essential level at which God protects us. So, you know, then there's the mental level. The mental level is, you know, if you're feeling distress, if you're feeling anxiety, pain, mental health is such a big issue these days. You know, there's so many people who are suffering from depression, you're becoming suicidal, you know, so people are taking to like new age things, they're taking to meditation or they're taking to spirituality, you know, whatever. So Krishna can also protect us at that level as well. And, you know, we can experience that, you know, just by chanting. If we're really stressed, if we're really having a hard day, we just sit down, just chant Hare Krishna. We forget about what's going on, you know. We're just in that moment. Like, I remember reading how Giriraj Maharaj, he was really like disappointed with some court case in Mumbai when they were trying to get the Juhu temple. And there was kirtan going on and Giriraj Maharaj wasn't participating. And Prabhupada called him over and said, you know, you should just chant and dance. So what can you do if this is not going to plan? It doesn't mean we stop our chanting and dancing, you know. We did our best. Obviously, eventually they did get the temple. But, you know, even Prabhupada, just, you know, you can't do nothing about it. Just chant, you know, because when we chant, we forget these things. It helps relax us. And even with non-spiritual practice, you know, like there's the guided meditation, there's that, even that can help relax us. You know, some people listen to opera music, opera music, because it's quite soothing. So, you know, so Krishna can also protect us on that level. And there's protection on the spiritual level. The spiritual level is where Krishna protects our consciousness, our bhakti. So going back to the conversation of Uddhava and Krishna, Krishna says, you know, because he talks about the examples, he says, you know, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was gambling, so Krishna says to Uddhava, he says, you know, Vivek means intelligence. Yudhishthira Maharaj didn't display intelligence in that situation because he couldn't gamble, and he gambled with, and he said, actually, Duryodhana showed intelligence because he couldn't gamble, so he got Shakuni, his uncle, to gamble. He was an expert gambler. So why didn't Yudhishthira and his ask me to come? Yudhishthira actually prayed for me not to come because he felt ashamed that he was obliged to participate in his gambling match. And when the Pandavas, Nakula, Sahadev, Bhim, Arjun, instead of praying to Krishna, asking me to come, they were just, in their mind, they were thinking what they're going to do to the Kauravas. They were cursing instead of thinking of me and thinking of Krishna. When Draupadi was being brought into the assembly, you know, she was not thinking of Krishna. She was not thinking of him. She was trying to use her strength to fight against Dushasana. And it's only right at the end when she realized she couldn't defeat Dushasana, did she surrender. She put up her hands, you know, with that famous picture, and she said Krishna's name, and then Krishna came, and he saved her. You know, so it was like Krishna says, he says, I felt like I was actually at the doorstep. I was actually outside the assembly, but I was bound. I was not allowed in to the assembly to protect them. So Krishna is always there. In that situation, yeah, he was there. He could have protected them. So our protection comes on different levels according to what Krishna wants. You know, and if you read, in the first canto, it talks about how Arjuna was escorting Krishna's wives from Dwarka, and he was attacked by a bandit, and he lost, and Arjuna was undefeatable. So when Arjuna got back, he was saying to Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know, I lost, I can't believe I lost to just a bandit. Obviously, we read from the Acharya's commentaries that, you know, that bandit wasn't a normal person, it was Krishna. Prabhupada explains it in that purport. He talks about how Krishna gave Arjuna powers that were for the situation of defeating the Kauravas and establishing Dharma. But once that was done, he didn't need those powers, he just took it back. His mission had been accomplished. He had no business with those powers anymore, so he became normal. So, and you know, when Abhimanyu was killed, Krishna said to Yudhishthira Maharaj, you shouldn't lament for Abhimanyu. And this is his nephew. He said, he's gone back to Godhead now. This is a destination you aspire for. So don't lament for him. So Krishna's mission has been accomplished. What he wanted has been accomplished. So there's no need to lament. So Parikshit Maharaj, he was facing death. And, is facing death, he's got, you know, having a terminal disease, whatnot. Say he's got cancer, for example, he'll have chemotherapy, he'll have this, he'll have that. You don't really hear of people hearing stories, you know, or reading a nice book. They'll try and deal with the symptoms, try and deal with the illness. But Parikshit Maharaj, he was given advice. The advice was, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavya Kiritit Avyascha Smartavyaschetabhyam. O descendant of King Bharata, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul, the Controller, and the Savior from all miseries. So, you know, we know that our existence is there's three dimensions. There's the physical, there's the mental, and there's the spiritual, you know. And consciousness comes from the spiritual, it goes into the mental, and then it goes into the body. So it's distributed at these different levels. So the Bhagavad's message is that by hearing Shastra, hearing spiritual sound vibration, hearing Shabda Brahman, it acts like a consciousness elevator. So what it does is it brings us, you know, if you go into a building from the bottom floor, you go to the fifth floor, you go to the tenth floor, you go to the whatever floor. So it elevates our consciousness, so we come more to the spiritual level. So as we're going more deeper, as we become more in touch with our spirituality, what happens on the physical level doesn't really affect us. You know, it's explained in the third canto of the Bhagavatam that as a spiritual practitioner practices spirituality, his subtle body starts to get dissolved. So he comes in more in contact with the soul. And you know, we see great spiritual personality, they can tolerate so much and they're not affected. Their bhakti is not affected. They're just, you know, they're not bothered. Like, you know, sometimes we see, you know, Prabhupada, you know, he would get angry when people did things, his disciples, and once devotees ask, you know, you're angry, because that's also a sign of someone disturbed. But Prabhupada said, you know, it's like waves in the ocean. The wave is on the top of the ocean, it's very turbulent. But within the ocean, it's very calm and peaceful. So, because at the core, you're not disturbed by these things. You know, what can you do? You know, sometimes when Shishi Radha Gokulanda ki jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai. So, we shouldn't expect protection always at the physical level. You know, like there are prayers, there's kavachams, there's doctrines where we can pray, there's Vishnu Sahasranam, there's a Narayan kavacham, there's a Varaha kavacham, and you know, it does say in there, it will protect you from danger, and it does do that. But people who are not even devotees will use these prayers, and they will get protection, whatever. But as devotees, we don't pray for these things. We pray for bhakti. You know, someone told me, one astrologer told me that, you know, the Maha Mantra, if you used it for material, if you wanted something material and you used the Maha Mantra, you'd get what you want. But our mood is to follow the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it's to ask for service to Krishna. So we don't do it like that. So we expect service. If Krishna protects us along the way, it's great. Our physical, mental, physical, he does, he doesn't. But he'll definitely protect our consciousness. He'll definitely protect our bhakti. Because Krishna says at the end, if you think of me at the time of birth, you'll go back to Godhead. You know, and Prabhupada says so many times, if you distribute books and you can't think of Krishna at this time of death, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will force himself into your mind and make you think of him. So the Srimad Bhagavatam's worldview is that, you know, when we elevate our consciousness and when we understand, when we're at that level, then we can understand the length and breadth of our existence. What that means is, the breadth is that this material body is temporary, we're subject to pain, disease, death, and everything's temporary. And the length is that we understand that actually reality, our real identity, is that we're eternal. You know, our happiness is somewhere else. So when we understand, then our worldview is much more. It makes sense. We can understand. We can make sense of life, and then our experience of life is much more better. You know, so we're not troubled by these things. You know. So, you know, and also, you know, that was quite nice. So even Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Paritaranaya sadunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. In order to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. So he says, deliver the pious, you know. And we read that how Krishna's devotees are being persecuted. Krishna comes when you read in the Bhagavatam. But you know, in some, you know, like in the 70s, devotees were persecuted, especially in Russia, in other parts of the world. You know, I mean, you know, the persecution did stop after a while, but it's not perfect, especially in Russia, the situation. But their bhakti didn't suffer. Krishna protected their bhakti. What's useful, if what suits Krishna's mission, then if it suits Krishna's mission to protect you on the physical, then he will do that. But if it doesn't, then we should understand it's not necessary to Krishna. Obviously, that doesn't mean we just give up. Obviously, we do what we can. But at some point, we need to have a realization. It's Krishna's desire, you know. So we just have to surrender. And like devotees who know they've come to the end of their life, they'll just go to Vrindavan or Mayapur to leave their body. You know, they just depend on chanting Hare Krishna, chanting and hearing, so it can lead to remembrance of Krishna. Because that's the ultimate goal. Okay, so I'll finish here. If anyone would like to make a comment, ask a question.